If you have your Bibles with you, please open them to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, just as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mercy. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this word. And Lord, as we spend some time looking at it this morning, I pray that you would open our eyes. Once again, as I look at your word, I am left almost speechless, which is a difficult thing for a preacher. The reality is that I don't have the words to express the depth of what is here. So I pray that you would speak by your Spirit, that you would take this word and that you would apply it to our lives, that you would help us to see what's here, that you would provide application to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you are just joining us, if this is your first Sunday here, we are studying the book of 1 Peter together. And it is a wonderful book, probably my favorite book. But if you've heard me preach before, you know that whatever book I happen to be preaching in at the moment becomes my favorite book. So this one right now is my favorite book. And because it is written to what Peter calls elect exiles, people who have experienced rebirth, people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, people who have found Jesus to be their greatest treasure, and yet are living as strangers, as aliens, as foreigners. Oh, most of them were living in their own country, but they had been transferred from darkness into light. And so they found themselves living in a foreign country, even if it was their own country. They had changed kingdoms. They had seen things that had changed them forever. And what they had seen was the glory of Jesus. They had seen how awesome he is. They had accepted him as their Savior and Lord and had been born again by the Spirit. They were new. And Peter is writing this letter to help them and to help us live strangers, foreigners. And we're picking this up in chapter 2. And this is chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're just going to focus on these verses this morning. I want you to notice that it starts, as you come to Him. If you were here last week, you'll remember, hopefully, what we talked about. We talked about the fact that in verses 2 and 3, Peter says, now you've been born again by the Spirit, like a newborn babe, crave pure spiritual milk. And we talked about the importance of having that relationship with God where we are receiving spiritual nourishment from Him through the Word. So he's taking that image of a newborn baby receiving nourishment and saying, now as you come to Him like a newborn babe, this is what He's going to do. He is going to build you together like living stones into a spiritual house. He's going to work among us as if we were living stones, building a spiritual house where the worship of God happens. Now, living here in this city, it's easy to get a picture of a spiritual temple. All we have to do is walk a little ways and look at the incredible cathedral that's there. Take a look at it sometime. I mean, just stop and look at a single stone. Okay? They're huge and they're incredibly square. And they fit together. Okay? Now, think about walking in the woods. Have you ever found a square piece of rock like that just laying there? No. The stones that you find in nature are misshapen. They've got all sorts of different angles on them. Someone had to take a stone and make it square so it would fit together to build the temple. Guess what God is doing in our lives as we come to Him? He's fitting us together. And sometimes we don't fit together very well. Sometimes I got this big edge here that's getting John in the head. And what does God do? He works in my life. He works in my life. It's dangerous to sit in the front row. He works in my life. He makes those adjustments. And God is doing that as we come to Him for spiritual nourishment. One of the byproducts is He's fitting us together to be a spiritual house, a spiritual temple. But then He changes the metaphor. He changes the metaphor. And he says, no, it's like being a holy priesthood. Like you are becoming priests together. All of us as priests. And I thought to myself, priests? What do priests do? And I looked up the word priest. In the Bible, you know, it's mentioned several hundred times. I mean, it is found from Genesis to Revelation, this idea of priest. Now, normally, I try to look at every occurrence of the word priest. I got bogged down, stuck in the book of Leviticus.
because almost every verse has the word priest in it.
But let me tell you, as you look from Genesis to Revelation, what you see. You see that a priest has several roles. One of their roles is towards God. They are priests serving God. They worship God. They do what God wants. Another role that they have is serving people, representing what God wants to people, being God's representatives or God's ambassadors. They are messengers. Having been in the presence of God, they can begin to tell people about God. They also play a role of bringing people into the presence of God. It's part of what they do. In the Old Testament, you would see them offering sacrifices. People would bring a sin offering because they had sinned, and the priest would slaughter the animal. The book of Hebrews talks about Jesus being the great high priest who offered himself as a sacrifice so that people could be brought to God. This idea of bringing people to God is part of being a priest. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 7, it talks about Jesus being the great high priest, always living to make intercession for us. He is always there praying and interceding for us. It's one of the roles of a priest. So I studied this, and I thought, wow, that's great, but I had to get back to my text. And it says here that we are to be a holy priesthood for the purpose of offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we're priests, we're called to be priests, and we're called to offer spiritual sacrifices. What is that? What's a spiritual sacrifice? I scratched my head. What is a spiritual sacrifice? The very first passage that came to my mind was in the book of Romans, chapter 12. It's a familiar verse. Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12, starting with verse 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so I thought to myself, okay, God is calling us to be priests. He's calling us to be a royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. And Paul says that we are supposed to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And so this is one of the first ideas, the groundwork of what it means to be a royal priest, a holy priest, offering spiritual sacrifices. The first sacrifice that you offer is yourself. Is yourself. Holy and completely to Him. It's what he's working on in your life. He wants you, your whole life, everything you are, everything you will be, to be his. His. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing. In church history, for the first couple of centuries, Christians were persecuted. Christians were persecuted. Christianity first came to France because of Christians fleeing persecution. Because giving your life to Christ, becoming his, was dangerous. It cost you something. You really were making yourself a living sacrifice. But in the 300s, when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, everything changed. Because now, to be a Christian, you didn't give up much to become a Christian. In fact, becoming a Christian was good for business. No? Yeah, go to church and network. Pass out your business card. Oh. Well, there was a reaction in the church. There were some that withdrew from society. And the monastic movement started. And there's much to say against the monastic movement. There were some good things about it. One of the things they understood was that being a Christian meant a total commitment to him. A total commitment to him. Now, I don't think that means that you withdraw from society and live a celibate life in a monastery somewhere. But Jesus did say, if you want to be my disciple, pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus did say, he who loves his mother and father more than me is not worthy of me. He did say that. He did say, go sell all that you have and come follow me. So the first sacrifice that we offer as a royal holy priesthood is ourselves to him. We offer ourselves to him, wholly and completely to him. Why would you do that? There's only one reason. Because he's worth it. Because he's worth it. Didn't Jesus say the kingdom of heaven was like a pearl hidden in a field? Like a treasure hidden in a field. Not a pearl. He said a treasure hidden in a field. Oh, there's a treasure hidden in the field. I'm going to sell everything I have to get that treasure. Everything I have to get the treasure. Because it's worth it. And because Jesus is worth it, we give everything to him. I've been following Jesus since I was in university. And I have to tell you that my life of following him has been incredible. But there are times where he puts his finger on an area of my life that isn't his. And he asks me to give it to him. Living sacrifices have a tendency to crawl off the altar. I have to keep getting back up on the altar, saying, Lord, I am yours. I'm yours. wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. So he calls us to be living sacrifices as holy priests. But not only that, if we keep looking at our text, it says in verse 9, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are, as royal priests, as a holy priesthood, part of what we need to learn how to do is to proclaim and declare his excellencies, his beauty, his gloriousness. And the best illustration I can give of our need to learn how to do this comes out of pre-marriage counseling. Rebecca and Cedric can attest to this. Hi, back there. One of the things that I ask couples to do is I ask them each to make a list of why they want to marry the other person. What is it about the other person that makes you want to get married? And typically what happens, and this is a generalization, typically what happens is the woman comes with a whole notebook full of things. The guy is very mad at me because, you know, he's got like one sentence. She's hot. Or, you know, he's struggling to put anything into words. And one of the best things that he can do is figure out how to put it into words so he can tell her again and again and again for the rest of her life. Isn't that true? It's the same thing with the Lord. Why is it that you love Jesus? Why is it that he is your greatest treasure? What is it about him that you love? Can you express it? Can you put words to it? We're going to get to do that for all eternity. Isn't that incredible? It's part of what we're called to do as royal priests. We do it together. And we have worship leaders who help us with some words on the screen. But we're called as royal priests to declare his excellencies and his beauty back to him and also to others. You know, one of the things I've observed over the years is couples who are in love, they like to talk to each other about what they like about each other, and you know, they say whisper sweet things to each other, but they also wind up talking about their wife or their husband to other people. You know what she did last night? It was just awesome. Let me tell you about it. And we just talk about it. Why? Because it's filling our hearts. It's the same thing. We are called to be that kind of people. When I realized that for the first time, I realized that in terms of my relationship with God, I really didn't have much to say. I was like that guy who could just write "she's hot" on my piece of paper. You know, I could just write "he saved me," which was enough. But I discovered that I needed to learn more about him. And I needed to learn how to express myself to him. So I did two things. First of all, I started reading and praying the Psalms. I would turn to the Psalms during my devotional, during my devotions time, and I would read quickly until something caught my eye. And then I would stop and I would paraphrase it back to God. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Stop right there. "Lord, thank you that you're my shepherd. You watch over me, you care for me. I'm sitting in the field eating grass, and you're watching out for the wolves. You're taking care of me. Thank you, God." And all of a sudden, I started to have more language and more words to use to express who God was to me. And I could talk about it with other people, but mostly it was just between me and God. The other thing I did was I started listening to a lot more Christian worship music. And I would just worship along. I got on my computer, I got playlists, worship list one, worship list two, worship list three, and I'll just worship. Just worship. And sometimes, like Rebecca mentioned, sometimes you'll come across a song and all of a sudden you're just there in the presence of God. And there are words in that song that begin to express who he is, and it gives language to it. So let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. We are currently experiencing an explosion of worship music. Find something that you like and use its words to express your devotion back to God. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." We are called to praise and worship him. That's what we're called to do as priests. It says in the book of Revelation that there are living creatures around the throne that never stop worshiping. They've been worshiping for centuries. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Forever and ever they sing this." And I used to think, wow, wow. They sing the same thing over and over and over again. They must be like little goldfish that, you know, by the time they swing to the other end of the tank, forget. And so they're just, you know, they're just constantly. And then it dawned on me, no, that's not it. They're constantly seeing new things about the infinite triune God. They're constantly seeing new things, and it's constantly coming back to worship. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to pray, "Lord, open my eyes to to see you more clearly. I hate to say it, God, but I've grown kind of bored. And I know that's my problem, not yours. So open my eyes so I can see you more clearly. Because I know when I do, it's going to be better than the best PlayStation game. It's going to be more fascinating than anything I've ever seen. And I'm going to worship you. It's what I was created to do. So I'm going to challenge you to pray that prayer. God, open my eyes. Open my eyes so I can see. Teach me. Teach me about yourself. Teach me, Lord. I'm hungry to know more. I'm hungry to know you. Teach me. Teach me. And he will. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. For God is seeking worshipers. God wants worshipers. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Verse 16 is also very important in Hebrews 13. It says this, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we're to offer spiritual sacrifices. We are to worship and proclaim his excellencies. But then God says, you know what? Don't forget to do good. Don't forget to have somebody over for lunch. Don't forget to give somebody a ride. Don't forget to stop and help somebody who needs help. Because with those sacrifices, God is pleased. Why? Because they're acts of kindness and mercy and grace. And they reflect who he is. One of the most famous parables Jesus ever told was the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the religious people walked by the person in need. The writer of Hebrews says, don't forget to do what is good, because with that type of sacrifice, God is pleased. So we have these different types of sacrifices, giving our whole body to him, learning how to worship and proclaim his excellencies back to him and to one another, doing acts of kindness. Because God's pleased with that. Let me just finish with this. We don't get to pick which one of those we want to do. Okay? As priests, we're called to do all of them. We're called to do all of them. Some of us are much more comfortable just doing nice things for people. We've got some incredible servants here. God may be saying, you know what? Love it. Love it. But I don't have your whole heart. Give yourself to me. Or, you know what? I haven't heard you say anything about me in a long time. Love the fact that you're serving, but say something. Or maybe you're the type of person who just, you know, put the worship music on and you're just, hallelujah, me and Jesus. And God's saying, no, no, no. No, you got to get out and do some acts of love. Be connected to other people. We have to do all of them, folks. Because we together are a spiritual house. We together are a holy priesthood. God dwells among us. May he be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.